Grace and peace to you, sisters and brothers, and welcome to this space of worship. Before we truly enter into our theme of cosmic praise, which I think you're well prepared for, I want to just invite us to take a moment of silent prayer for the recent events in our country, victims of the plane crash in Indonesia, other places on our hearts where there is suffering. Join me in a moment of silence. God of all comfort, we weep with those who weep. We mourn with those who mourn. And we seek to live faith-filled lives where you have planted us. In your mercy, Lord, hear our prayers. So I want to thank Nancy for the energy she has put into this service, and she designed the whole package deal and picked the songs and asked that you have instruments. So I hope you use them as the Spirit leads you, and if you're a more quiet type and don't want to use the instrument, you can wave the ribbons. We hope we have something for everybody. So if you would take your sheet and join me. Oh Lord, open our lips. Stand and turn and sing the journey to number 13. Number 13.
Thank you. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 8. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Look to him and be radiant. See, your faces shall never be ashamed. This poor soul cried and was heard by the Lord and was saved from every trouble. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see, the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. Jeremiah 31, 7 through 9. For thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north and gather.
When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many sternly ordered him to be quiet. But he cried out even more loudly, Son of David, have mercy on me! Jesus stood still and said, call him here. And they called to the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling for you. So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, my teacher, let me see again. Jesus said to him, go. Your faith has made you well. Immediately, he regained his sight and followed him on the way.
So, I'm not good at praise. Even when times are good, I'm not good at it. And right now, times aren't very good. These texts kind of imposed themselves on me before the past week, and I almost pulled the plug after Saturday morning. I think we're all overwhelmed, as Carmen mentioned, by the things that have been happening in our midst and around our world. I've also had a bad cold for more than a week, and the days are getting shorter and shorter. So grief, loneliness, anger, impotence, all these things seem to fit, and frankly, the category of worship that feels like it's calling me is lament. But a year and a half ago, I got a set of prayer beads as a gift from Sarah Payne. Some of you may remember Sarah. Anybody here remember Sarah? Yeah, she graduated a year and a half ago. And this was part of her, actually I got these before her capstone project. She just gave them to me as a gift. I'd never prayed with beads before, and she was very clear that these are Protestant beads. I found out later she's right. They've got four sections instead of five, but the main thing that I have taken along with the gift was that she gave me a prayer that she had written using the text from John 1. And with each set of four, there is something that you include in your prayer. So you begin with praise. I'm like, oh boy, I'm in trouble now. Praise and then repentance. That seemed a little bit easier. And then petition. So usually the way I pray is, God, take care of this and help fix that. And then thanksgiving. So I've been using these beads quite a bit in the time since Sarah gave them to me, and I've really struggled with the praise section. There's seven beads that you can think of praise items. So I usually get one or two, and then I'm kind of like, you know. It's led me to thinking about the relationship between praise and thanksgiving, which is, of course, another whole area. But I felt like I wanted to really think about praise. I was thinking more broadly about the question of praise, and I looked at the lectionary texts for this past Sunday, and I thought, maybe there's something here that will help me. For a year, in 1986, I was part of a congregation in Ouagadougou in Burkina Faso. It was an apostolic church. And I chose the church because the churches that had services in French were absolutely boring. I mean, they were so dry, and they sang terribly, and I just couldn't stand it. And the churches that were completely in the local language were so inaccessible to me that it didn't seem like I wanted to spend my time that way. But the apostolic church did everything in French and more, so I could understand what was going on, and I could also participate in the life of a worshiping body whose first language wasn't French. And every Sunday, they began the service with a fairly extended, I never was quite sure whether there was even a time frame for it, but they called it louange, which is praise. And there were always a group of leaders up in the front, and they would call out songs, and there were drummers, and people were sort of straggling in and out, and it seemed like the basic idea was to give everybody time to get there. You know, some people were walking, some people were riding the bus or like a truck to get to church. And in any case, later on it would be too hot. So let's get animated before it gets too hot. Now, this was a new experience for me, but I kind of came to enjoy it. One of the things that they loved to do was wave things in the air. Now, they didn't have anything this nice, but they would have loved to have these streamers. Whenever they got to a song that was especially exciting, everybody pulled out their, not this, but like their handkerchiefs, and they would just wave them in the air like this in time to the music. So it was a very lively, energizing kind of worship. And I thought, this somehow fits. I'm not sure why I felt that way, but it seemed to fit for me. But when I came back to the United States, I couldn't connect. I found praise bands boring and self-centered, and praise and worship music seemed really infantile, and I just couldn't. I didn't know where to go with this. So, as I've been sort of musing on these things recently, I came to the text for this week, and the gospel text that you just heard from Kent is the story about the blind beggar Bartimaeus. Some of you may have even preached on this text on Sunday. And it's notable that he cries out loudly several times, and the story ends immediately. Mark loves that word. Things are always happening immediately. He regained his sight and followed Jesus on the way. Now, if you know the Gospel of Mark, it's very clear where the story is going. They are on their way to Jerusalem, and Jesus has just gotten done telling the disciples three times that he's going to get killed when they go to Jerusalem. So Bartimaeus joins them on the road. Now, there's another key word that's associated with our readings, and I want us to reflect on it, although it doesn't actually show up in the text. So, Andrea, if I get out on a limb here, you just kind of, you know, pull me back in. But it's the word Hosanna. I'm guessing that most of us never hear that word except on Palm Sunday. And we know how cute it is when all the little kids come in with their palm branches shouting Hosanna. And it's great drama, and it's good theology. I know from my worship class, which I took at seminary a very, very long time ago, but I've never forgotten this, that you can't just celebrate on Palm Sunday. If you're not going to have Holy Week services, you must read the entire story on Palm Sunday. You have to read the entire story, not only of the entry to Jerusalem, but Jesus' Last Supper and arrest and crucifixion. That's all got to be part of the story, unless you're going to do it during the week. But as I thought about Hosanna, I thought, well, I've always thought of Hosanna as a praise word. But Hosanna is not a praise word, or at least not directly a praise word. Literally, it's a cry for help. The New Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible says it's a request for help. And I'm like, that's kind of timid. It's not a request. It's a cry, a scream. It's a shout. It's a I can't be silent anymore expression in the face of some kind of injustice or distress. In Psalm 118, which is the text that seems to be behind the things that people were crying out when Jesus went into Jerusalem, we read, "Save now, Hoshiana, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." Now, there are a few places in the Old Testament where we hear this cry for help addressed to an earthly king. The woman of Tekoa in 2 Samuel addresses King David, and there's a woman of Samaria who calls out to the king of Israel during the siege of Samaria by the king of Aram, and in both cases they say to the king, "Save us, Hoshiana." But the only place where, as far as I can tell, the only place where this word is used in the New Testament, it's transliterated from the Aramaic, and it is in these accounts of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. So it shows up in all four Gospels, and they all seem to be quoting from Psalm 118, but with all of this imagery from the Old Testament about crying out for help. If I'm correct, the root of this cry for help is the same root as the root that refers to saving, and that it is therefore directly linked to the name Jesus, the name that he was given by the angel. And it's the same root as the text in Jeremiah where we have heard this statement, "Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people." So if you think about the stories that we've heard, think about how long Jeremiah and the people he was talking with were afraid, terrified, hiding, getting thrown in pits, trying to figure out whether to flee to Egypt, watching Jerusalem burn down, wondering if they would ever be able to return. That was all part of the mix when Jeremiah said that God's people would be commanded to proclaim, give praise, and say, "Save, O Lord, your people." How long had Bartimaeus been sitting beside the road before Jesus showed up? In the story, just suddenly there he is, but if you imagine the life of a blind person in first century Palestine who is making a living by begging, you can imagine he was probably there for a very, very long time. Both in the account or the advice of Jeremiah and in the story of Bartimaeus, we see people seizing their chance. They shout out when they can. And it seems that we too, as we think about following Bartimaeus as a disciple, that it is fitting for us to cry out, and that when we think about following Jesus, we think about it as not something that is always quiet, but something that is loud, that is a cry, which blends the desperate demand for salvation and the praise of God's greatness. I've been meditating for a number of months now on the Mourner's Kaddish. It's part of the Shabbat service, and it is the place where the worshipers acknowledge those who have lost a loved one. This is part of the words in the Kaddish. "Exalted and hallowed be God's great name, in the world which God created according to plan. May God's majesty be revealed in the days of our lifetime and the life of all Israel, speedily, imminently, to which we say, Amen. Blessed be God's great name to all eternity. Blessed, praised, honored, extolled, glorified, adored, and lauded by the name, be the name of the Holy Blessed One beyond all earthly words and songs of blessing, praise, and comfort, to which we say, Amen. Now, if you've been following any of the reporting from Pittsburgh, you know that there are very specific mourning traditions that are going to be invoked during these days as the Jewish communities there bury their dead. But I'm really struck by this particular approach to grievous loss in which we are not told, I'm sorry for your loss. We are told, magnified, glorified be God's holy name. So when haters kill people at prayer or at Bible study, when planes crash and people die in the sea, when the hurricanes ramp up destructive fury, when a job doesn't pay enough to support our family, when the place left by loved ones who have departed seems very empty, if we are facing a malignancy or our brain is confused, if following the news makes us anxious or angry, the scriptures tell us that if we are following Jesus on the way, we can fearlessly cry out, Hosanna, save Lord. And we can see this cry not as a simple cry of desperation, but as part of an act of praise. One more thing. A couple weeks ago, I was at the Rooted and Grounded conference in Indiana at AMBS, where we were talking about environmental catastrophe, and there was a lot of doom and gloom, to be honest. But we had an amazing sermon by Valerie Bridgman, who's the dean of the Methodist Theological School of Ohio, on the book of Job. And she went through it in great detail. And she basically echoed what I can also find in other places where people talk about how we respond to God in the broadest sense. She said, God's non-answers to Job's outcries were basically, it's not all about you. But at the same time, you are part of something that is bigger than you. It is cosmic. They can be deep, they can be painful, they can be very individualized, they can be corporate. They can represent the groaning of the universe. And if we agree with the phrase that is repeated often by many people who are active for justice, the universe is also bending toward justice. Sometimes that bending may hurt. So let us join in for the rest of our time together, and let's do it by making noise. Praise isn't just in the brain, and cries for salvation are not just in the head. Praise and crying out measure, they match a heartbeat rhythm. They course through our arteries and our veins. They breathe out of our skin when it sweats. And as we embody these calls, we find that, no, indeed, it is not all about us, but that we are part of all that God is doing. So wherever we may be right now, personally, where we are as a community, where we are as a nation, let us say, Hosanna, praise the Lord. And since I forgot to tell you before, Matt, you can start my PowerPoint right now, and we'll watch it while we sing.
God of all kindness, we thank you for the many ways your love enters our lives. Accept our sacrifice of song in your church on earth.
And grant us a part in the music of your church in heaven. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Go in peace. Make a joyful noise.